Army Snake, everybody. This is Escape from New York, and that's Hindsight. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. Mark, hi.
Hello, Edward.
How are you?
I'm good. Do you think, in hindsight, that that intro was hard work?
Yes. My turns out my voice isn't up to doing gruff, you know, stoic characters, so...
I disagree. Maybe not Snake.
Maybe not Snake.
Speaking of gruff, stoic characters, I'm here as well.
Hi, Taylor. Yeah, accurate description for you. Yeah. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm actually very excited because today we have a very special guest.
A legendary, almost
mythical creature.
Yes.
This is on the podcast today, a surprise guest that wasn't announced in the last episode, and it is the one and only my father, Gavin.
Hello, thank you for inviting me.
welcome, Gavin.
Thank you.
I think it needs to be said, like, there was a reason you wanted to come on immediately, wasn't there?
Well, there was, because I was catching up on some of your episodes and really enjoying them, and then I heard a false fact. I stood accused in Superbad episode of being the stealer of remote controls at people's parties back in the early 90s.
That's terrible. You see, now we're always led to believe these stories are true, Taylor. What do you have to say?
I have to say, the details might be slightly off, but the core fact of the story was there. You did cause chaos at parties.
Oh, yeah, I did cause a little bit of chaos.
Well, it causes a bit of chaos, don't it?
Yes.
It's allowed.
But it wasn't me. I didn't pinch the remote controls.
I knew
somebody who did. I could say his name, but I won't.
It just throws everything Taylor's ever told me into, like...
Question?
We have to question everything.
He's come on the podcast to set the record straight, so...
I think we need, like, a special bonus episode where one by one we go through all of the alleged offences and you get to say your piece, Gav.
I think, yes, I'll start making a list.
I think you should. Were there any others that sprung to mind?
No. That was the one. But,
Maybe you should listen to our episodes when they come out in real time and you would be able to correct them quicker.
Okay, I'll try. I'll make a better effort. I'm a failure as a father.
I think it's a terrible daughter, though, you've got. I mean, I know it's, you know, you raised her and all that, but something happened when she moved out, mate. Because
I know. I blame Joe.
Disrespect. You know, it's terrible.
Treat me like a fool.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. It's not. It's fine. It'll be fun to have Dad here to get his thoughts because he's so old that he would have been alive when this came out.
I was.
But it's nice to have I'm not going to say older, a more...
Seasoned.
Yes.
Senior.
We've had our age and younger, so...
I completely agree.
Yeah.
And it'll definitely help... when we look back at this year. Well, to do that, let's take a journey back. To 1981.
Oh, did you feel it, Gav? Did you feel us moving back in time?
I did.
Feeling a bit frosty.
1981, Gav. Tell us, what happened?
1981, I was about 12 years old. And so I probably saw this film a couple of years later.
Oh.
What certificate was it? Oh, my God.
It must be like an 80. Yeah,
I didn't. I watched it many years later. I think we were at a little party with some girls and someone got this video and it was a special event.
Oh, fantastic.
In 1981, I was not even a sparkle in that 12-year-old's eye.
No, there's no glint.
I would hope not.
I am not alive. How old were you, Mark?
One. I existed.
Did
in my purest form.
What, you peaked then?
Yeah, it's been downhill ever since, I think. I think my mum will agree. Then my sister came along and, you know, there was a new favourite in the house.
Right.
I was essentially shunned.
That's understandable.
Problem with being the firstborn.
Yeah, the firstborn sucks.
That is it. Right, can I tell you a fact, everyone?
What were you doing in 1981?
Well, I wasn't there, so I wasn't born.
All right, so in general, it was a better year.
Look,
two out of three of us, I think
it's offensive of you to ask me, to be honest.
Good, take offence.
Let me give you this fact, though, okay?
Go on then.
Bucks Fizz win Eurovision held in Dublin with Making Your Mind Up.
Wow.
Is Bucks Fizz not a drink?
It is also a drink.
I assume they were named after the drink.
I would think so.
How does Making Your Mind Up go?
You're making your mind up.
Oh, I didn't know that was that old.
Yeah, it was very. Was it the video where they ripped each other's skirts off, didn't they?
That's
it was
the one.
It's like a bit raunchy back then, you know. Yeah. Oh, that on TV.
Is it the watershed?
Talking of things broadcast on TV.
Oh, we're over that fact already.
Yeah. Well, did you have more to say?
I was going to talk about Cheryl Baker for a second.
Yeah, can we?
Yeah. Okay, I'm done.
Talking of yay up, the first London Marathon was held in 1981.
I didn't know anything about this, Taylor. It's not a fact I was going to read.
Mark had picked this fact, but as someone who runs, I decided that I could overrule him and take his fact.
I have the runs sometimes. I feel like that could have been.
Do you know who finished first, Taylor?
Yes.
Go on then.
Louise Blackman.
You see, I had Louise Blackman. Weird amalgamation. I had all this detail ready to go, and you've just stolen.
Oh, you're such. Does anyone care who finished first? Are we going to remember?
Wow. Does he just asked?
Do you know who finished first?
That's what I asked.
You might have asked.
The winner of this race, not race, is, you know, sat at home listening to this, going, "Well, my legacy is burnt."
Yeah.
Well, he didn't win it. He hasn't won it since 1981.
Well, how do you know? You don't know who it is. Speaking of fast things that spin? In 1981, there was a tornado outbreak in the UK that was the largest ever in European history. In the span of 5 hours, there were 104 confirmed tornadoes in the UK. In 5 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. Do you remember this, Dad?
I have no recollection, no.
Apparently, a lot of them were quite, like, small, but they were all recorded and, like, in quite rural areas, but there was this whole weather system.
Sorry, do you say tornado?
Tornado, yeah.
Is that
tornado.
The one with the cyclone?
Like, the spinny things, yeah.
I really want to see one.
Yeah, 104 in 5 hours. It's mad. Like, yeah, when do we ever see them anyway in this country?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
If we have wind, it's a shock.
Like many things, the best ones are always in America.
This is it, yeah, leave it to
them. Absolutely.
They have had worse ones, apparently. And there was no fatalities in this one either.
Well, that's a relief.
Yes, it's good. Yeah. It's a nice end to that fact.
Yeah. Talking about taking things by storm, MTV launches in 1981, and the first music video to air was aptly Video Killed the Radio Star by The Buggles.
Now, that must have been on purpose.
You would assume.
Yeah. It can't have just been somewhere, a massive coincidence. Like, oh my God, we put that on.
When they got the whiteboard up, they were like, I know what we're going to play first.
Guys, I've got the one.
What? Why did MTV evolve onto MTV Cribs?
That is a question with...
I don't know what you just asked. Like, that is the entire channel is not just Cribs.
And it's Cribs and it's Friends.
It's a reality TV.
I mean, yeah, MTV stopped being music now. Television a long time.
Which is a shame. I think it's...
Well, it all spanned. I don't know if they still exist, but for a long time there were loads of like other MTV channels because there was MTV Two, and then there was MTV Country, MTV Dance.
MTV Two was my favourite when I was younger.
MTV Two was that was more alternative, as they call it. I don't know what alternative means. Alternative,
like Rage Against the Machine on there, or something.
But I don't know why it suddenly became a reality channel, which is a shame, really.
Yeah.
But
speaking of reality,
go on.
Lady Diana married Prince Charles in 1981. Oh, wow. So that would have been one of the earlier royal weddings.
Well, I mean, there's always been royal weddings. That seems odd to say.
Like the royal family goes back quite far.
Did exist before.
Not my man. It's not my man.
Televised, do you mean?
What did you mean?
No, just the fact they got married. It just meant that because...
What do you... Yeah, go,
it was that generation.
Mean?
It was that generation. It was the kind of that generation. You know, you have like a generation of royal weddings. So Charles and his four siblings.
The modern era. Oh,
okay, I think it might have been... I don't know if it was one of the first televised weddings. Royal
I mean,
weddings.
I assume the Queen's was, but to Prince Philip maybe, but...
Was she not already married to him? I don't know. These are facts I don't know.
No,
I have
don't
a
know.
Build on my fact, which is later that year they announced they were pregnant with Prince William. Prince William, married and a baby in a year.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, speaking of shotgun weddings.
Oh, get off my fact, ASAP Rocky.
Yeah, it was a rubbish fact. There was an attempted assassination on President Reagan in this year.
Oh, yeah.
Came into power this year. Came into power? Was inaugurated, whatever you want to call it. He was in a lot of facts, but this one struck me as the most, I won't say amusing, because obviously he was shot, it's not that fun, but the reason was, is because the person who shot him thought it would impress the actress Jodie Foster.
Yes, I've read this actually.
Because he was obsessed with her from the film Taxi.
Taxi Driver.
Taxi Driver, not Taxi.
Yeah, so Travis Bickle, is it in that?
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously there's a whole assassination thing in that. With
which also should be pointed out, she was quite young.
Very young in that.
So it makes it even weirder. But I honestly want to know, what it never really goes into it any more than that he tried to impress her. Like, how was that going to impress her?
And I kind of... you never hear Jodie Foster's side of this story. Yeah. I would like to know how
she
felt.
Maybe she was impressed.
She's like, oh, you know what? Good shot. He's done well here.
But he made it. There was a lot of... The Pope was also attempted to be assassinated this year.
Yep.
And also, President Reagan... The other fact that I was going to use was that he fired... So the air traffic controllers in America went on strike. So 2 days later, he fired over 11,000 of them. Just fired them all. I was like, that is a move.
That is taking control. That's,
wow. While eating jelly beans, I assume. While he's obsessed with jelly beans. Yeah. Yeah, they're fired, Tilo.
Well, do we just not have as many attempted assassinations now, or do we just not hear about them?
I would like to assume that security's been stepped up a bit since then.
But so we just stop them at a sooner stage?
A lot of the times they can detect these things. They, you know, can find out about stuff.
Yeah.
Ahead of time.
Depending on how deep state you want to go, build profiles on everyone so they know what kind of character you are.
Also, sub fact on this fact that's building. Do you know 70 people get released, escaped or accidentally released from prison each year?
I did not know that.
Well, in the UK.
Horrifying.
70.
Is that from open prisons as well? Because it's fairly easy to walk out of those.
That's the reason, yeah.
Well, speaking of releasing... IBM released the IBM 5150 PC. It featured a 4.77 megahertz Intel 8088 CPU,
wow.
16 kilobytes of base memory, and the Model F keyboard. And its retail price was $1,565.
I don't understand the fact.
You don't what?
Understand the fact.
It's a hell of a lot of money for very, very, what is considered would be today unusable.
Probably the same amount of power as a Nokia 3310 or something.
Yeah, like one of them Tomy toys.
But what is interesting about this release is that IBM asked Microsoft to create an operating system for it. And here we have MS-DOS 1.0 being released.
That's more interesting to me.
Yeah.
The DOS release.
So the first Microsoft...
It's probably not interesting to anybody else who listens to this podcast.
But you and me, Mark, we're there. Yeah, going, well,
I'm here. Do you know what's more interesting? The fact that the first IVF baby was born in Norfolk, Virginia. Oh. Don't you think that's crazy that only that long... Like, everybody, like... IVF is common.
What?
IVF's common today, isn't it?
Well, so are computers.
It's common. It's certainly not easily used. Yeah, well, that's why, I mean, 40 years ago they were able to first do it.
Come a long way.
I'm not going to make a joke. Go on.
I think you should. No, make a joke.
No, good call. Good call.
Hi. We used to call them test tube babies, didn't we, back in the day?
Yeah. I don't know if that's still a term that we use.
I don't know why it can't be a term.
I always picture a baby in a test tube.
I like to think of them like that. Yeah. Just in a really thin... And they'd have just grown up like that.
I've got a story about Dad in this situation, but I'm not going to tell it.
That's probably... He's here to refute it if you tell it.
Yeah, let's move on. Focus on the film, yeah?
Speaking of... I literally can't link these two facts. I'm not even going to try.
You can do it.
I really can't. Speaking of... No, I just can't. Like, so basically, Nintendo released Donkey Kong this year, which is also for the first time we ever saw Mario. And now Mario is massive now. I mean, and he's got a film coming out this year.
Donkey Kong's been robbed.
Hmm?
Donkey's been robbed.
Donkey Kong. He was a bit one-sided as a character, really. Just threw barrels around.
Wait, don't you play as Mario, though?
Yeah, you play as Mario, and you've got to try and get up to Donkey to save the princess, I
should say. Yeah, yeah. I used to love Mario and DS. I know I'm hijacking your fact, but...
You never what?
I loved Mario and DS.
Oh, okay. Yes, Mario games are great fun. That's why, you know, he's surpassed time and space, I guess. But it's interesting. The interesting part is that he was clothed in red overalls and a blue shirt because of just the limitations of the hardware. And that's been his thing ever since.
Isn't that... Yeah. Funny stuff
and
like that.
The large nose and moustache avoided the need to draw a mouth and expressions. So the reason he looks like he does was just because of laziness on behalf of the developers.
It's a bit like Lara Croft in Tomb Raider, the original. They gave her a backpack to cover up the glitching on her back.
Amazing. That's brilliant. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Save that for...
I'll bring that up in 96, whatever. Yeah, okay. Speaking of historical facts, I need to now tell you about the highest grossing film of 1981.
Always exciting.
And where history plays into it, it's about archaeologists, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Never seen it.
Of course.
Indiana Jones 1, if you will. A classic.
So it was never actually called, it was not Indiana Jones at all, it's just Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Always throws me off when I'm
And I think the song, that the theme that everyone calls the Indiana Jones film is Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, there you go.
Feels like it should be a panto.
We could try and do it as a panto.
Yeah.
Indiana.
Sure.
Jones the panto. Please.
I mean,
make it happen.
We ripped it off in one of the ones we did years ago anyway, so.
That's true.
Yeah.
And the best selling album.
Brackets US
was I'm trying to open my iPad.
This sounds going to be all over the place. Wafting the microphone.
High Infidelity.
Oh.
By REO Speedwagon.
Oh, okay.
I do not know this album.
I don't know it.
I know the band.
Tad, you should know.
No, I was very square.
Oh, was... your sits now very hip.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, they say it's hip to be square.
It's hip to be square.
Oh.
Yeah, it's true.
What is that?
Original nerd.
Huey Lewis and these.
Classic.
So there we go. I think we've set the scene enough here. So why don't we take a quick break and then we'll be back to discuss Escape from New York.
New York!
And we're back. And it's time to escape from New York.
Oh.
Tell me, Mark, had you seen this film before?
I have. I don't honestly watching it again. I'm not sure if I've only just seen it once, because weirdly I prefer the sequel.
Okay,
which is probably inferior in every way, but it's a bit more modern and it's a bit more.
Don't think
silly.
That's a common held opinion, but yeah,
it's not. Yeah, but I definitely prefer Escape from LA.
Okay,
it's basically exactly the same film.
Yeah,
like they've just modernized it, but all the same things happen. Like all the same things happen, but slightly differently.
Right. Okay.
So I saw that one first before I'd seen Escape from New York, so I've got more of an attachment to Escape from New York.
No, that makes sense.
But yeah, so I have seen it before.
Do you know that Snake wore the same clothes and that they let Kurt Russell take them home? And
that.
17 years later, he was pleased that he could get back
into
the original outfit.
Yeah, that's quite good.
So yeah, so that's my... yeah.
Taylor, if I had to make one bet for... you know, the mortgage on my house, that whether you'd seen this film or not, it would be no.
Do you know what? When I was three, Dad went out to the shops to buy alcohol and left me with Escape to New York on the telly. I'm so joking. No, I've never seen it.
There was a moment.
I can remember that. I thought it was Armies of Darkness.
You didn't look. Like, you were just looking at me like, did I?
I thought that was not. Evil Dead.
No, I have not seen it, of course.
Gav?
Oh, yes, I saw this probably a couple of years after it came out. I'd have been about 14.
Very naughty. Ed, what about you?
No, I had not seen this.
You haven't seen it at all?
No.
Either, you see the other one?
No.
And there was a reason.
Oh, and...
Here we go.
You can't keep it to herself.
Part of the fun.
Let's
get straight into
rewind.
It. After the 3 minutes of credits...
Yeah, there is a lot of... basic white text on a black
background. I thought you
two
would have loved this.
That went on.
No,
I really enjoyed the music at this
point. Music's a great sort of retro,
and I was enjoying seeing how many times John Carpenter's name came up. Did the music as well. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah. Like, literally, has his hands all over this.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
No, I must admit, even after a couple of minutes, I was just like, oh my God. And I thought to myself straight away, Taylor will hate.
My question was, is these credits included in the 1 hour 30?
I was doing this thing, and I don't know if anyone else does this, but like, I got a biscuit when I started watching the film. And I was like, I'll wait until the credits finish before I go in, because I don't want to power it too quickly. And I was just sat there going like, God, when do these end? I'm desperate for this biscuit.
Pressure's building.
Oh, that's mad. So, yeah, anyway, I did take note of that. It was about 3 minutes 23 or something in the end, and I was just like, that's a long... a lot of credits for nothing to be happening, but...
And then you get that descriptive voice that kind of tells you the setting, doesn't it?
What happened
to New York. Did you know that was Jamie Lee Curtis, uncredited?
No, really?
Yeah.
What happened?
That's a fantastic fact that I had no idea. No,
what was this? See, I missed this. So I was listening. I just didn't understand or hear this part.
So essentially...
they turned it into a prison.
They say in 1988, the crime rate in New York rised 400%, which it probably did anyway. So they turned Manhattan into a maximum security prison. Walled the whole thing off, turned it into a prison.
What great logic.
But, I have to admit, I was watching it go like... I feel like this isn't the solution.
New York City's got to be one of the most expensive places for land in the world. Yeah.
Like, the most affluential parts of the
No, world. We're done with it. We're washing our hands of New York.
But then, like, business done in the World Trade Center. No.
It's a prison where they don't put lights on. They don't provide food. Isn't?
It's the world they make it now.
They basically cut it off and be like, it's just like you dump people in. I mean, it's just a futuristic silliness, isn't it?
But it's supposed to be blackout. This is something that really bothered me.
Basically, what?
Blackout, like no lights, because they don't have any power.
They do say that some of them have managed to find power and stuff.
Why are the streetlights on?
That's what they say. They do say some of them have...
Yeah, but some of them have found power. Why would you turn on a streetlight with your power? I'd be more focused about charging.
Road safety.
So it's a valid point.
Because it's like, oh, the city's... And if you had found power... You're not, like, the people are going to see that the streetlights are on.
Well, yeah, you'd be going, has anyone got a lightning cable? I need to charge my iPhone.
Yeah, exactly. Like, how have they found power? Just unexplained.
Just go to the World Trade Center, because they've still got it on.
Yeah, apparently they're still on it.
Supposedly, like, 10 years later, since they turned it into a prison, there's still enough juice flowing around, even though they've cut the whole island off.
Well, apparently, you do hear that the brain had helped start creating fuel and getting fuel. Well, it's never really explained.
For
but,
what resources?
Well, I don't know.
The oil under his building.
Oh, that's it. So, oil shaft there.
So we assume there's some generators that they're running.
I like that you're making
I can suspend my disbelief enough.
I didn't think about it too much, if I'm honest. No. It's only talking about it now, you start to really pick it apart. Yeah. But yeah, it was... I think the streetlight thing is quite valid.
Why would you put that? They would not be the first things you put on.
It was also night more than it was day.
It was very night. It was only day for about 2 hours.
Consider it is. You had 24 hours in there.
I said when my other half, Jay, said that it's basically been night this entire film, I said maybe it's, give it the benefit of the doubt, it might be winter, February, like it's dark. And then he was like, well, why is he in basically a crop top then?
He is hard.
He has no jacket.
Yeah, he's just...
But he doesn't even try and cover up his guns. Sorry, I'm jumping forward.
Well, because it's kind of a lawless state, isn't it? So he doesn't have to.
But surely, if you're a baddie in one of these bad things, which all the baddies seem to just scuttle run at all times, that's the only method of transport around this place.
And nobody else has a gun, and they're not like, oh, wow, look, there's a bloke with a gun.
That bloke looks pretty fresh. He's got quite a few guns on him.
Just to take it back, slightly. I did quite like, although the kind of 4K version I was watching of it reveal behind the scenes kind of, oh, that's a matte painting. Oh, that's a digital element that's been...
Oh, I mean, I could see the painting. Yeah, I was still impressed by the edges.
But I've taken into account it was 1981. I actually thought it's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, I agree.
And I quite like the torn down Manhattan, the kind of where a lot of it was blacked out, and you could see little areas that had streetlights on. But I thought it is quite a cool aesthetic that they managed to...
I think they've done it pretty well.
And even... more random that I think they didn't even shot barely any of it in New York.
I think only the
bit on the Liberty Island with the Statue of Liberty.
Oh yeah.
The silence for the first 15 minutes of the film, there must be about two lines and the rest you're supposed to just figure out.
That's world building though, I think, to show you.
I didn't mind it. Just
it's supposed
tense.
To be quite stark, I think, and like the sound of that helicopter is supposed to be quite harrowing.
But I was like, what is happening? I was like, a jet has crashed. Why do we care? Someone's taken over the... Like, it just did... it.
I mean, that was enough context there for you to know what happened.
I didn't really get it.
Because they decode the name of the jet and it's Air Force One.
What does that mean?
That's the president's
Star Wars?
Aircraft.
It's quite strange. I thought that the film was quite slow-paced to begin with.
Yeah, yeah.
But then they do kind of jump straight into it in a kind of, oh, there's a jet struggling. Oh, it's Air Force One. It's crashed. And you're like, okay, that happened in space for about 30 seconds after we've had this 15 minutes of slow sweeping shots of the city.
Because we see that we do see Snake right early on, don't we? Like he's been taken off the bus and taken through to processing.
What's he in trouble for?
This is, I'm never really sure. It sounds like he's robbed the National Reserve or something.
Yeah, apparently they shot a different start.
Right.
Where it showed you the robbery and him getting caught with someone else.
Okay.
I don't really know the context of doing it, but he is supposed to be an anti-hero. So you're supposed to find him a bit loose cannon kind of thing.
I always find it, I love the character, Snake.
Yeah, it's cool.
His motivations are odd because he's a decorated war hero. And then all of a sudden he's just flipped it.
Well, I think that kind of is explained, jumping to the end, when he asks the president, how do you feel about all these people that died getting you out? And he doesn't really care. And I think that's where Snake's attitude is being a bit like, my country doesn't care about me. It's a bit like Rambo.
I did get that. But look, it just doesn't really... What's disillusioned him to begin with? There's still things like that I want to know, but I think that's more...
Yeah. All of his friends who died in the original, you know, when he was in Moscow or wherever he was fighting, perhaps.
It probably is all stuff like that. I just think, I suppose modern cinema's done that to me more. I want backstory. I want to know what these people's motivations are.
And throughout the film, there's about three references of, didn't you die? And but it's not explained anywhere else.
I quite liked about that is that anyone who said, I thought you were dead... ends up by dying.
I found him... I didn't really like him to begin with. And you've got 24 hours. What makes you think, okay, the president is in there. We've got 24 hours. Let's send this criminal we were going to send in anyway, rather than getting some special forces agent, some good guy to go in undercover.
I think... Is it Hulk? No, I can't remember how you said his name.
Hulk. Yeah,
Lee Van Cleef's character... It's like Halt,
I think.
Or something.
Right, yeah.
I can't say it, apparently. But he, I think he recognises he can manipulate Snake enough to get him to do what he wants.
He knows that he can get Snake in with the jet glider thing, because Snake's flown them before. And stuff like, he knows that Snake's this decorated war hero. So
he has the ability to do it.
But like you say, he wants to manipulate him without... He wants someone in there who's... not going to stand out as like a police officer because they're going to get killed.
Yeah.
I think it's my vision of it, interpretation of it.
They could have always changed the police officer's clothes, couldn't they? But...
I suppose so. I suppose he wanted to send someone in who he didn't really care about.
And he's got an eye patch, which must mean he's a baddie.
It's quite low stakes for him, though.
I do like that idea that he's got an eye patch on, so he's not quite, you know, he's a bit...
And he's got long hair.
Woolly.
I quite liked it.
Oh, I love it. But it's definitely there purely for that fact.
I think it's explained as Snake has like light sensitivity problems or something in that eye.
Is it?
So yeah, he has to have an eye patch. But
it was quite dark, so he should have lifted it off.
It would have been all right.
It would have been all right. Like Riddick. And the guards had great big long, you know, barrels on their assault rifles, which was rather odd.
Futuristic weaponry.
What does the future look like? Yeah. Bigger guns.
Bigger guns. Longer. Just longer.
Yeah. But anyway, so as you said, the plane's gone down.
Did anyone else find that quite hard to watch?
Which bit?
Like the jet plane smashing into a building in New York.
It was a glider. They towed it up there, didn't they?
No, the Air Force One.
Oh, yeah, I mean, the Air Force One.
Unless it was different in your version.
I didn't see it.
You only saw
The wireframe version of it. Yeah, but you do see it going up to the building.
I didn't see that.
It's a much different
version. Maybe I've painted that in my head that I saw.
Yeah, no, it's just because I thought that. I thought like, this is going to be quite harrowing, but then it just... I thought it's weird that it actually just goes to a wireframe version. Obviously, they didn't have to then record a plane crashing or have to try and create it. But it was very, it just went into that. Beep, 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 and then it was just done.
Yeah, I found it quite hard to watch. And I don't
it
know,
wasn't an easy watch, even then.
Maybe I did watch a different version.
I didn't find it hard to watch.
Yeah, there might be a director's cut or something where they've got some more...
Or my brain has just applied...
I think that was nuts.
Maybe.
But I still found his pod egg thing highly amusing.
Yeah. It was like something out of Austin Powers or something.
Yeah, exactly. And I had to wonder if that's where it had come from. Because I thought the same thing. And I was like, with his egg pod thing in Austin Powers. I was like, have they ripped that from this?
It's possible.
Because it just seemed very like, what a weird shape.
The president as well, Donald Pleasance, who's like just Blofeld in my head.
Yeah, yeah.
Bond. But it looked like it's always English accent.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even do an American one. I did read later that apparently he came up with this backstory that, oh, it's because of the state the US was in, they had to rejoin England. So the constitution that has to be in America has come back. John Carpenter's like, I like it. I'm not putting it in, but I like it.
And he was just like, I'm keeping the accent.
I'm not doing an American accent. So.
They, considering they knew the plane was going down, the criminals did a really good job of capturing the president pretty rapidly. Mm. You would think they would get there quicker.
Whether he landed right next to where a load of criminals were or something, or they just saw it, I don't know. You're not
How
wrong,
do
though.
The criminals huh? know he's the president?
There's the presidential seal on the egg.
Yeah.
Yes.
Plus, they probably went to see what a giant egg was.
But can I add that escape pod managed to bounce around in the building, fall all the way down to the ground, survive, yeah? Why did he just not stay in there?
I wanted that. I wanted to crack it open. The pun intended there.
I like it.
Thanks. But yeah, I did think to myself, why didn't you just stay in the air? And I was like, I'm going to assume they forced it open or something, maybe. But there is a lot of unexplained. I again agree with you there, Taylor. Like, they do seem to be very prepared for this presidential arrival, and like they seem to know his motivations without any real context, and they're cut off from the world. Like, because the people who crashed the plane were nothing to do with that. They were like some liberation front or something, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. But I suppose the only possible explanation for that is that they take him hostage and don't really know what they're going to do with him yet, which is why they're...
And they leave. He's got the briefcase chained to his hands, and they don't think to remove it or have a look inside.
No.
There's obviously nothing of any value in the briefcase chained to his hands.
We'll chop off his finger.
Yeah.
We'll leave the hand.
We'll leave that.
And the briefcase.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, you're not wrong, yeah, because they are just trying to leverage him to get off the island, aren't they?
Yeah.
To be fair.
So I assume they're coming up with a plan.
But they do seem very prepared. But anyway, so we get Snake... Snake's then obviously been pulled out of the processing line and gets propositioned, doesn't he? Like,
call me Snake.
You can do this. Call me Snake. I love how he just doesn't talk very loudly. It's just a great thing.
It's great. Well, you mentioned before we started recording, Gav, that he based it on Clint Eastwood. Which, as soon as you hear, you're kind of like, of course. But it makes for a cool... you know, post-apocalyptic version of him. I really like the characterization. I mean, it's, use an American phrase, it's a dime a dozen now, that kind of character.
Yes.
Yeah. But back then, I imagine it was quite new to have someone that gritty
in
a film like that.
But yeah, so they get him, so proposition him. He basically accepts because he's like, I'm going in anyway. What have we got to lose? And then they give him all his weaponry and then they eject him with two small explosives in his neck. Which he doesn't know about. He thinks it's anti-venom, doesn't he?
Harsh vibes. Harsh vibes.
Very hard. Yes, definitely a harsh vibe there.
When they show him the weapons laid out on the table, he has three different types of Death Star. You know, Chinese throwing stars. That's what I mean. And you're thinking, oh, one for different situations, perhaps. But
he does use one at one point, so I was quite pleased about that. I was just like, oh yeah, there he goes.
It's a classic like 80s weapon though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
When he goes up in the glider. He does an amazing job at kind of going through the city, doesn't he? Considering it's a glider, he goes right between the buildings.
I didn't know gliders had that much manoeuvrability.
I don't think they do. I've never really been sure. But
I didn't know you could go up and down and...
I don't think you can.
Do a loop.
I think it's supposed to be a modern version.
Maybe.
Because they gave it a special name, didn't they?
But how is he going to take off on it?
And I didn't wonder... I wondered as well, were gliders quite a new thing back then? Because it looked like they made quite a big deal out of it. He was getting in this fancy-looking thing.
Maybe that sort of version of a glider.
It looked like it was just commercially available. It looked quite ordinary. It wasn't even black, was it? And he crashes it on, or he lands it on top of the...
World Trade Center.
And it's like, and when you're ready to come out, just jump in and get going. And you're thinking, he's got to physically push it over the edge.
I never really understood
And then
that.
What, just hop in as it falls?
I was just going to do that.
No.
Yeah.
Although I think he does pretty much say that.
Oh, does he?
I'm going to have some difficulty getting off.
But... yeah. Oh, yeah, because he's got it right at the end, doesn't he? So, but I actually thought to myself, surely that's easier, because all he's got to do is a little bit and then drop off.
Just lean forward.
Yeah,
just lean forward. Yeah, of course.
He gets in the lift and then he goes to this first floor. Oh, go on.
Excuse me. He gets in the lift. No, he hot wires the lift. Yeah. But the electricity's still on. That's really handy.
Very. Because they do say something about that
they've left it running.
But why does it only go down the 50th floor? Why is that?
Probably because they assume no one's going to walk up X amount of stairs
just
to get
seems
there.
Like a
50's all right.
50 yeah,
floors.
But there's someone scuttling around. This is when
that
the start
really,
of scuttling.
That really creeped me out for some reason. I wasn't expecting it.
Which bit?
So when he first gets out of the elevator and he's on the 50th floor and he's looking round doing his, you know, cool look.
Posing.
And then just in the background there's just someone going in the back. I was like,
I didn't think...
the people in this film only move in one way and it's this scuttle run. It's so weird.
It's to add an element of uneasiness, isn't it?
Yeah, but why do people always run? They're always running. Everyone who walks past him is running.
You don't want to get shot.
This is where I thought the film was at its best, though, when he kind of lands in the city.
Yeah.
And he's walking around and you get that real kind of behind enemy lines, kind of he is so unsafe at this moment. But you have that air of confidence because it's Snake, that he's going to be all right.
He doesn't seem unsafe.
No, he never lets on that he's scared or anything.
He's the only person in the city with a gun.
Yeah.
Two guns.
Yeah. I found this bit weird.
Which bit?
Well, he just kind of... when he's looking around, he ends up in the theatre. I quite like the fact these criminals have... Although this is meant to be the rough part of town, he gets... They've created themselves a little theatre.
I like that, though. I think that's quite good. It's just like there's still a lot of them in there, perhaps in there for doing crimes that maybe aren't terrible and just try to live a normal life, so putting on a show.
Culture will prevail.
Yeah, exactly.
The taxi man.
Cabby.
I liked his character, Cabby. Yeah.
He looked so scary when we first saw him, but when I found out he was good, I was obsessed with him. He was the best character in the entire thing.
He looks scary to you.
I know, when you, because it's the way he looks at Snake when he goes off to the side, you're a bit like, oh God, this is not going to be good for Snake.
Right.
He was, the actor's Ernest Borgnine, is that?
But
he's been in loads of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And war films, all sorts for a long time. Yeah. Black and white stuff, fantastic chap.
Top roles, yeah.
Spoiler alert, but when he dies, that is the worst moment of the film.
Spoilers?
It was sad.
Really sad.
I thought,
in his taxi!
Yeah, and he was worrying about his taxi as well. Like,
bloody Snake.
I thought there's a nice little relationship happening between Snake and Cabby, and then ends too soon.
But also when he goes around this back bit, and there's obviously men sexually harassing a woman with the unnecessary boobs.
It was an 80s film.
It wouldn't have been... I didn't really like it, the vibe. I know it's a bad place. Still didn't like it. Didn't think it was needed. Because it doesn't really say if it's a men-only prison. There are a few women, but there seems to be about 400 times the men than there are the women.
I mean, I think on the whole...
But you'd have thought Snake would intercede there and be, you know, a true man would save a woman.
I thought the same thing. And I think, I get what you mean, Taylor. I think it's in there to kind of be a bit shocking.
Yeah.
Be a bit like, this place is harrowing.
Awful.
And I thought, if I was Snake, I'd feel like... be almost inclined to step in.
He's got loads of guns.
But then I also thought, we've got this time imperative thing.
Yeah, he's on a mission.
He's got explosives in his neck. That's not his job. He'll stop it today, it'll happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
I know that's not a good thing, but that's how I kind of saw it.
I agree with you there.
And then Cabby's like, oh no, he leaves Cabby behind.
Yeah, because he goes there, he finds the vital signs watch from the president, but it's on some guy who seems to be having his head smashed in by someone else, and then just turns around like, I knew I was going to be president.
Nobody contemplates that they might have taken the wristband off.
No.
This crook.
There's a lot of stuff like that in this, which will lead me to a point right near the end that I'm not going to say now, but there's a lot of things in this film that are, you really have to just sort of suspend disbelief in that sense.
Yeah. I've got a prime example of that. He meets that young lady in that sort of cafe where he goes to hide. Yeah. And she goes, "You're a snake. I thought you died."
Yeah, yeah.
And then she goes, "Have you got a cigarette?" And so he gives her his packet of cigarettes. She takes one and pops the packet in her pocket. Yeah. And Snake, who had been smoking quite a lot, you know, he doesn't go, "Oh, he could have my fags back." You know, he didn't seem to have bought a lot of fags with him.
But he does seem to have a lot. He always seems to have one at the right moment. Yeah, so he must have a load of stashed on him somewhere.
But, you know, I said, "Look, you can have two, but can have the rest of the pack back," you know, and he didn't, you know.
I could never work out this bit. I don't know if this woman was more famous at the time or something, because it seems like a very odd cameo. Because he meets her in this shop. They have a little conversation and then she just gets taken.
Yeah.
Well, she gets so random.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's just like, it's out of nowhere. It's
I was watching it going, okay, he's found one of his allies.
Yeah, I thought he's got a girlfriend.
Yeah. And it's just like that, she's gone. And but I'm like,
again, is that supposed to be how it is? It's supposed to shock you in a kind
maybe.
Of...
Maybe.
They're going to show you people and just take them away.
And he's on a mission. Yeah. He can't be saving everybody.
I would agree with you, but I found it very specifically.
It's like
a moment.
It's in the grey area of being. We don't know enough about her to care about her going, but because she's not there long enough, so you're left her a bit like. So what was the point of that?
Yeah,
other than that was a bit shocking.
Fairly certain she's the and credit as well, like and this person.
Maybe she was,
but I didn't recognise her name at all.
I feel bad, but yeah, like, I don't.
Oh,
know.
Okay.
So weird.
So yeah, that's when they all start chasing him, don't they? All the sewer people, because he's running around.
Well, he goes back out, doesn't he, of this theatre to be like, what next? And then he sees one of them like banging on the sewers. And I thought he was trying to get Snake to follow him. But no, then all of the sewer people come out.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it's the end of the month, they're out of food. So do they eat people? Because they seem to take her. Why would they take her if they didn't eat people? But Snake's
maybe
just walking around in front
implied.
Of them. And I mean, they don't do anything
it's
to him.
Another thing where it's like there have been... It's nearly 10 years since this place has been established. There's obviously no new supplies going in.
Yeah.
You're probably not wrong. They must...
But why do they not target Snake when he's just walking about on the street?
Yeah, big gun.
Yeah,
too much muscle, not a fat.
Yeah.
They don't seem to look at... Probably, that woman's not got a lot of fat, though.
Probably, yeah, I mean,
women are more
perhaps
tender,
they
already
knew this woman they were going to go for. Perhaps they knew she was in there. I don't know.
There was lots of them.
I think that's just opportunist. Oh, God, there's someone, grab her. But I felt Snake used a lot of ammunition up during this whole process. I was a bit like, you need to be saving on to that. I know it's an 80s film and they have unlimited ammo, but...
I'm going to use this moment to talk about the sound effects.
Go on.
Why did they all sound like they were done in a very small can... and filmed like behind me, like
I thought I didn't notice that.
Okay, maybe because you watched maybe a 4K, maybe it was a restoration and they sorted them out. But all the guns were muffled. They were not good.
Potentially, I will say, in the scheme of things, this film is quite a low budget film.
Yeah.
Because
when it comes across as it should be high budget, considering what it is,
I think because of its like cult success, you think it's a bigger film than it and. The fact that they're filming this in New York or whatever, your assumption is it's a big budget film, and it's kind of not because it for an action film there is not a lot of action in it.
No,
was not it? Really. No, you're right.
It's a walking film.
It was walking films. Don't get me started on those. But it was a $6 million. Is it $6 million film?
That's it. Yeah.
And Star Wars a few years earlier was 11, and but then Mad Max 2 the same year 4.5. But that's million Australian, which you probably you'd have to knock that down.
Yeah, but Mad Max as well. That's a very slow kind of
Max 2.
Let's film it in the desert. Oh, okay. So
that was a car zooming around.
Yes.
Can we just talk about how keen Dad is that he's done additional research?
Oh, yes, I am. I've got
You barely do any research.
Exactly.
You're part of the main cast.
Yeah, exactly.
Flash Gordon in 1980.
Please replace me.
25 million.
Wow, there you go. So, he managed to make his escape, doesn't he, from that?
Because Cabby!
He picks him up, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Who constantly seems to know exactly where he is.
He's a cabbie.
I don't understand how that.
He's a big he's a big fan of Snake, so I think he's been following
him. He essentially must be following him because he always seems to turn up just at the right moment.
Aw, we love him. When he left his cab on the street, I was so stressed for him.
I had the same thing, like, cabbie's going way out of his way here, Snake. You better repay him. Replace him with death.
Is he being a cabbie in at this point? Like, is he still cabbying people around?
Yeah, I think so.
How are they paying him?
I don't think he needs
cigarettes.
Pay. Cigarettes, fuel. He swaps his hat at one point.
And that's another question. Like, where have they got fuel 10 years later?
Because he's got it. He's just done it. Okay.
The brain has
you're
got
the same person that would bring this up at another point.
Yeah, but I don't bring it up for cabbie. Cabbie's allowed.
In Brain's house, he had the big pump thing going.
Yeah, like the oil rig.
The oil rig, which he obviously got the parts.
He's refining the fuel. Everything.
They just refine it all by himself.
They call him the brain.
That's why he's brain. Obviously, sorry.
I also like the fact they knock on the door and this woman's like, not letting you in. And it seems like it's a four. It seems like everyone's going to be in there. And then it's just two people. And then he instantly threatens them. And he's not like, why did you let this guy in?
Yeah.
Yeah. But is that the New York Public Library they're in?
Yes.
I always thought to myself, is that why he's brain? So he's obviously in a library.
He'd be in a library.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I didn't think about it that way.
The reading, I was just like, oh, come on.
And the woman he's with, Maggie, Adriana Babuna, or whatever her name is, I immediately realised I recognised her, and my wife quickly looked it up, and she was Rizzo out of Greece.
Oh, yes.
I recognised her, but didn't really figure out where. But maybe that's what. Not that I'm a big Greece fan, to be honest with you.
Greece is the word.
Apparently Taylor is.
But she had, like, a dead gull on the back of her hair. I couldn't really work it out.
What's a dead gull?
Like, in her hair, she had like something on the back of her head. Just look at it.
It's probably difficult to get a comb in there to get rid of it.
I did not notice that at all, I must admit. But I will have to, maybe we can have another look.
They've got it pretty sus though. Just like, make friends with the big boss, live in a library.
It's a good plan.
I mean,
pretty gutted when Snake turned up, really, because he didn't end well, did it? Let's be honest.
This film did not end well for anyone.
Not really.
All of his allies suddenly. There's like, throughout the film, there's not a lot of depth. And then suddenly on this bridge, everybody dies.
Calm down.
So excited.
Skip to the end. So they've met Bray and he's basically said, yeah, sort of, help me. Where are they?
Bray knows that.
This is when we first see the Duke, isn't it?
Yeah, and his car.
The most bougie car.
I want one.
The chandeliers.
Is attached to it. Superb. It's so good.
Did anyone ever have those?
I don't think surely, that's ever been a thing.
Surely not.
It should be.
I really want them.
Oh, God, yeah.
On the Fiat.
It was incredible. I was just like, this has made the film for me now.
And I didn't realise it's Isaac Hayes. I was like, ah!
Very cool as well. Yeah.
Yeah, he's really good in it as well. Mm. He didn't come across as that bad, if that makes sense. Like, I didn't hate him. Like, you're supposed to with a bad guy.
You almost don't mind him. Yeah. But, you know, it's just like, he's pretty cool.
Although his little assistant, I don't get...
The guy that looks like he's perpetually in an explosion.
I don't get what this is about post-apocalyptic things or something like that. There's always, like, the person who's got wax to the heavens in their hair. Yeah. And they just like, I want to look like a freak because it's just unnecessary.
I think I always assume it's like back then they wanted people just to look as mad as they could, like so. Yeah, go with that.
It was the 80s though? People were looking pretty.
I mean, maybe
out
it was the style. Maybe he was just, you know, living his best life.
And Duke,
let him be him.
Yeah.
And Duke, the actor Isaac. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was his claim to fame in recent years?
Well, it was the voice of Chef on Chef.
There you go.
Which he
then
regretted doing when he became a Scientologist, and they ripped Scientology, so he left.
Ah, oh, right. I didn't know that.
So, yeah,
that had ups and downs. That did, but yeah, he was hello, children. So they see the Duke. Then they get into a car, and then it starts getting attacked. So they start going. Do they go to see the Duke? I think I zoned out a little bit at this point.
Yeah, and then they go down a street with people lined up at either side.
Yeah.
They're trying to get ahead of the Duke, I think, to get to the president on this train.
But it is like they're driving very slowly. Like, I'm not going to lie, if it was me and I was in a prison full of people and trying to get through, I would just put my foot down.
I thought,
move out of the way if they want.
Why does he not hit them?
That's what I mean.
Nah. I thought, just foot down, go. People get out of the way if they want to live.
Yeah.
I don't know whether there were so many people he thought that eventually you would come to a stop or
maybe
a body would get under the wheel and you couldn't get
or maybe
down.
He's just been... Maybe there is still compassion in him, I suppose.
You know, has some
empathy. These people, they're wild and mad, but like they're just sort of out here trying to
survive. How long has it been a prison? 4 years?
No, like 9 years. Oh, it's 1997 now. Yeah. Don't you remember this back in 1997?
I remember. And then it gets to the wall of cars to block the street.
How have they got them there?
But that's question number one, is how they managed to stack these up. Question two, they make such a massive thing about it, and then he just drives through it anyway.
In reverse.
Yeah. Just no real, like, wasn't really an issue at all.
I did like that the car is really battered at this point. Oh, yeah. And it's, when he pulls up by this train, it's like barely on.
Struggling along. Oh, that's right. So they find the president, don't they? He finally finds the president. And then immediately takes an arrow to the knee.
Get a bit of crossbow action. Liking that, come on.
And then he doesn't try to remove it. He just goes on and has a big fist fight with an arrow sticking out of his knee.
And he takes so long
to throw this throwing star at this other guy.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he's a bit like surprised by the arrow, maybe.
He's probably going through a set of three different throwing stars trying to work out which one to use.
Which is the best
situation.
In this moment.
I really hope that's the case. Just off screen, just like,
And at this point, I was like, right, this is where the film starts, really, because escape from New York. And they go outside of the train, they're immediately caught, and I'm like, okay.
It's pretty anticlimactic, but they immediately get caught, I found, and so I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And this is when it goes from day to night. It's briefly
day to day. It's night the whole time, isn't it?
And then it's day
so
for 3 minutes.
Out, doesn't he? Yeah. They grab him.
Yeah, he wakes up and it's daytime.
Up until that point, every time Snake has any sort of physical interaction, one punch, they're straight out. It happened 3 or 4 times. Mm. And then the Jew takes that iron bar thing, hits him, bang, he's out. They're very good at one-shotting people, aren't they?
Absolutely.
One bang, you're down.
I mean, I probably wouldn't get up after being clocked with an iron bar either.
Yes.
The scuffle that Snake has with the kind of henchmen when they first get caught up with, it is remarkable. I saw it as like how old films used to do fight scenes, you know, these kind of like you do a punch and then I do a punch and we throw ourselves against this, whereas a modern fight scene is, you know, meticulously choreographed, but it's fast,
and very
it's,
fast
and it's
paced.
Quite brutal.
This is very much sound effect,
yeah.
So, you know, it's just like, oh,
I just
feel
like
every
punch. I was like, this is an action movie, but I'm just kind of like, I want this fight to stop because I feel no one's getting anywhere.
One punch does plenty.
It does. And with that punch, let's take a quick break. And we are back. Snake wakes up. Good morning.
Hello, how are you? Yeah, so he's woken up, hasn't he? At the same time outside, Duke is shooting at the president.
El presidente.
I'm not really sure. Is he just shooting to scare him? Because he's obviously trying not to hit him.
No.
Or he's just a very bad shot.
I think he's just having fun with Snake's gun, because it's quite cool.
Big question. Yeah. At any
guns aren't cool.
Did anyone look if the president has 10 fingers?
I didn't. I think I was going to and forgot about
it. I forgot to look, actually.
He has got it bandaged up.
Okay.
Yeah, it's got it badged up, yeah.
Okay, I'll take that. But they never really think of what they want to ask for. It takes them a long time to ask for what they want from the president.
I suppose you perhaps wouldn't necessarily, or how to do it, maybe.
Yeah.
How do you get that message out? And I assume, do they figure out that that's why Snake's there? Yeah, they must do.
Yeah.
So that's perhaps how they know they've got their way to contact them now, isn't it?
In films,
leverage.
Things only go wrong for the baddies when they wait to kill. Like, if baddies didn't hover and hesitate to kill, films would be so much shorter.
Oh, it's the classic, let me tell you my evil plan before I kill you.
Same in any kind of thing like that.
No. I might make a film one day where they just die.
Just dies.
It would
like
be a
it.
Very short, boring film, wouldn't it? Just
no,
like,
it'd be great.
Now you're dead.
Yeah, amazing.
Okay, well, let us know you get on. So, and then he accidentally shoots the case over, doesn't he? All the paper falls out. They don't really care about it. So one of them picks up the tape.
But what?
The world-saving tape.
Can I say?
Yes.
Yeah. The tape has the secret of nuclear fusion on it to save the world. Yeah. on a what? Is it a 60-minute one or is it one of the 90-minute ones? Yeah,
it was a 90-minute
time.
And those tapes were legendary. It getting chewed up inside the machine. Mm. Yeah, they used to snap, right? And when it falls out the case, it's not even in its cassette case. It's just a loose tape.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is the way we all used to use them. Yeah. And it's like, what is it? Is it an audio? The whole secret of Fusion is done on audio. It's just crazy.
Well, this is a bit that I must admit I didn't understand, because why... he's recorded this tape. Can he stop read it at the right time?
Yeah.
Can he not just make a new tape?
Or that?
Yeah.
There seem to be many options available.
Or was it the scientist who recorded the whole process, you know, make a nuclear fusion reactor?
It's a good point, and that's... I was just trying to think, is it the president? Because when it was played back, I'm like, oh, that's the president's voice. But now I'm like, oh, was it, though? Was it? It just happened to be like an English scientist.
I don't know. Then I thought it was.
It's not clear. It's really not clear. It's not clear how this information will save the world.
Because it will give them a secret of nuclear fusion, so they'll, you know, you get unlimited energy. Everyone will be happy.
Right, and no one's fighting over oil and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Peace on Earth. It's peace all contained on a cassette case,
that's
briefcase.
It's being held fast and loose.
Yeah.
That one guy just puts in his pocket. Mm. That's it. He's quite happy. He's got the tape. He doesn't know what he's going to do.
I'll have this.
Yeah. Well, tape over it, of course. You can record your own Top of the Pops or something.
Finally.
He's going to get the two radios lined up next to each other and stop and start. Absolutely.
Finally, Bucks Fizz.
Pull your mind up.
So then they lead Snake to this wrestling ring. I don't really know to what end. See, now, I was watching this thinking of the sequel. In the sequel, when he has to play a basketball game, it's very much if he can score the score, he's allowed to go free. But none of this is said here, is it? It's just very much you're going to go wrestle this guy.
I think it's quite gladiatorial, and they have this bloke that's just killing everyone, and that's their entertainment. And they're looking forward to seeing Snake get killed.
But like, if he hadn't won, if he was going to win, what was going to be the end game for him then?
I don't think they expected him to win, because then the crowd's cheering Snake.
Yeah.
Because they obviously just like, now he's the hero.
And I kind of wanted something to come of that before it immediately snapped to something else. And I thought that was a shame, like, because he had won and the crowd was suddenly behind him. But it's kind of left sort of...
Yeah, that's true.
But again, the choreography was just ridiculous. It was I'll hit your shield, you hit my shield. Yeah. And it's a bit... And Snake is like a superhero. He's going to be brilliant at manoeuvres and dodging. And no, he doesn't. He just stands there and gets whacked, doesn't he?
Yeah, he gets his arse handed to him in the first part of it.
He did have an arrow in his leg. Come on.
Yeah. On these big hitty sticks, were there not nails in them?
Yeah, well, so that's what
then
kills.
Then they get past the nail ones.
Oh, okay.
Phase two.
I was thinking, surely he should be bleeding.
Round two.
Yeah. And that's what... And then he suddenly seems to be able to hit his mark. Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, he's literally been battered around. You can see the terrible bruise makeup on him. and then he gets given the nail one and you're dead.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's a nasty one.
It's pretty brutal.
Yeah, that is brutal. Yeah.
But the old arrow injury in his leg wasn't bleeding at all, so he probably had a little surgery in between.
Quick nap. Yeah.
You walk it off. Walk it off.
This is when they wave down the helicopters to give their demands.
Yeah.
They all run outside. That was smart.
Cheering at the helicopter. Yeah.
And what do they want? All to be released.
Everyone, yeah.
I don't think, is it everyone? They certainly want the Duke wants to be released, doesn't he? Mm. Like, full pardon and amnesty. Full amnesty, that's it, isn't it? Yeah.
Talk about an unrealistic request.
But in the meantime, Brain and Maggie have killed the people holding the president and taken him. I say saved him, but they're obviously just taking him for their own purposes.
Yeah, to get out.
I don't think they're expecting to see Snake again.
But somehow they've worked out the World Trade Center thing.
Well, Brain has a brain. He does have
a brain. But then they go to the top. Like, they seem to get there quite quickly. The World Trade Center is obviously just around the corner.
It was like there's a few scenes have been cut here, wasn't it?
I've got to go back to one bit, though, because this is the bit of the film that honestly made me roll my eyes so much. So at the end of the wrestling match, I forgot about this, he sees the guy ringing the bell is wearing his tracker.
Oh, yeah.
So he's like, oh, the tracker. So he manages to grab him and start the tracker up.
I know what you're going to say now.
We cut to the warden and the other people. And one of the guys goes, hang on a minute. How do we know that anyone could have pressed the tracker? And the warden's response is, Snake's the only one who knew there was a catch. Yeah. I said, no one's going to look at it and go, oh, yeah, there's a little catch there, a little piece of leather. Like, what?
Well, I am dumbfounded
by
this.
Everyone else in the world doesn't understand it, but he showed him it before he went, so it's fine.
Only Snake would know.
It was the most ridiculous bit. It was worse than the tape for me.
I thought the same. That scene had been recorded before they'd made the prop. I'm sorry, it's the best I could do. Sorry.
But and also how useless the tracker was, because it only went for 15 minutes and then stopped, so it didn't really give him any kind of information.
Where is he? Manhattan.
He's near the World Trade Center. The fact that he's the only one who knew that there was a secret catch.
But you could get Duracell batteries back in those days, so...
But just the idea of it was just like, see, put this thing on and not gone, oh, what's this do?
It's a little flap here. I won't lift it.
They see him go to the World Trade Center. You'd think they'd send a helicopter. If he's near the World Trade Center, the time's nearly up.
Oh, but they're expecting that he's going to be able to glide out.
Yeah, but just in case.
Well, they don't want to go in, do they? Because their whole thing was, the threat was, if they send a helicopter in, they'll kill the president.
But they've already sent a helicopter in.
I know, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But in this time, the guy has been knocked off the roof anyway in one of the best CGI I've ever seen.
Why did the people knock it off?
I think it's accidental.
But how?
He's trying to sort it out.
No, because there's all these baddies
up
there.
No, someone's trying to take the hook anchor from the ground. Purposely push it off.
But you could have.
To save it. They push it off.
Yeah, they could escape.
They could have escaped New York in it. They could have won.
Absolutely.
They used the secret lift.
But how are they? How do they suddenly know about the secret lift?
I assume maybe that person that scuttled around saw him get off the lift.
I mean, originally, I quite like the idea of that the police had left this secret act secret, but hard to gain access from the top of the train. That was the way they got in. But yeah, by the end of it, you're just like, so everyone knows where it is? Or did they follow Brain up there, maybe?
That's what I mean. Follow Brain, or he said there was some scuttling around.
It would be nice to have some clarity about what happened there.
For fire safety regulations, there's got to be more ways to access that roof than a lift.
Probably.
There's got to be a stairwell.
But it could have been barricaded or something. You don't know.
It's not explained, and I don't think you're supposed to think about it.
Nope. There's just so many problems.
And then, so Snake actually catches up with Brain then, doesn't he? Because he had the president. And then they run into the Duke. This is where it all... This is the actual escape from New York, finally. Like, last 20 minutes of the film. Yeah. And then Cabby appears from literally nowhere.
Oh, I love Cabby.
I know you love him. He's been absent for probably a good 40 minutes, and he just appears.
And the last time we saw him, he bottled it and left.
Well, yeah. Cabby should have stayed hidden, to be fair.
Well, it would have been in his own interests to have stayed hidden. But also, and I mean, this comes up a little bit later, but he's got the tape on him.
He traded it for the hat. He gave his hat.
Oh, do you know what? I never picked up on that. Yeah. Wow, okay, I missed that. Really skipped me by, because I was just like, why has he got the tape? But then how did he know he got the tape? I don't know. He likes the tapes.
He wants to play in his cab. Yeah. Wow. Oh, I just think poor Cabby's like, someone's got a new tape. This could be really good for my cab. Oh, it's got secrets on it, damn it. I better go give it to you. It's a spoken word.
So they have to go across this bridge, don't they? And only Brain knows where the mines are.
Apparently doesn't. But yeah.
He's got them mapped out on a bit of paper, hasn't he?
And he's the only one who can read it, but obviously can't read it. Because...
But when they go over one mine, the perfectly cut in half...
That's exactly what I was going to say. The car gets split in two, and the only person to die is Cabby.
Cabby.
It makes those...
This is the worst moment.
It was a cut and shove, though. He'd probably got a cheap cab, and it was two cabs that should be joined
together.
Yeah, you're right.
It's two welded together,
isn't it? Yeah. It doesn't explain why only Cabby had to die.
No.
Snake was fine. They were sitting, centimetres apart from each other.
I didn't like Cabby living in that world, so he's in a better place.
Yeah.
That's fair. He's better off for it now.
I think he's better off.
But then it's like, we're going to keep going. Forget Cabby. Then the Brain dies. Why are they suddenly dropping like flies?
Because they basically had to get to the wall where it was just Snake, didn't they? They're not letting anybody else out, so let's just make it easier.
This goes into the ending again, that all these people have died to save the president.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Snake's seen all of his quickly made, but friends.
Yeah, compadres.
Maggie's death, heroic. Totally unnecessary.
Unnecessary. And like her, she's shooting at the Duke, where he's like a mile away. Like, wait till he gets closer and then unload at the windscreen.
Headshot him, yeah, when he gets close.
And no, she's like, bang, I can't see him. Bang.
She earlier shoots three people without even thinking about it within like a second. Yes. She's like, boom, boom, boom. And then suddenly she can't shoot the Duke.
It was a very weird moment.
This whole mind thing, do you know who does this really well? The Mockingjay Part 2. You know when they go through that grid?
I've never seen it.
You've never seen that.
The worst
Games?
Of all the Hunger Games films.
Oh my god, they do it really well though. They kill a good amount of people. This killed too many.
Spoilers.
That film's got its own problems.
Did you know that they inserted the shot of Maggie dead on the floor because test audiences found it confusing as to whether she was alive or not?
And test audiences in the 80s must have been a little bit less.
One of the people to write specifically to John Carpenter was J.J. Abrams.
You're joking.
Who's J.J. Abrams?
As like a 15-year-old boy.
You upset me when you say things like this. He's a massively famous director.
Why do I need to know a director? Not in the film.
He was in the test audience and he wrote a note to John Carpenter about it. Yeah.
Because, I mean, a car literally ploughs into her at high speed. She's not very well off.
Well, it's a bit ambiguous. Because you could survive being crashed into, but...
I mean, really? She's not going to be in a good way.
I think you would... My assumption would be she was dead. But apparently they filmed that shot. Because I think the actress was married to John Carpenter.
Right, okay.
Like, they filmed it in the garage. At home. And brilliant. Just got that shot, yeah.
That's why it looks like tomato sauce on her. I now understand.
Correct. That does explain it a lot more, yeah.
So they get to the end.
Yep.
The Duke is catching up rapidly.
Yeah, they send a little winchy thing down to pull the president up.
But did anyone else, when the president had gone up, think they're just not coming back for him?
Oh, yeah, I thought they're going to leave Snake.
I thought that would have made more sense.
It probably would have done. There's a lot of things that don't make sense.
They didn't have the audio tape, though. They needed the audio tape, didn't they?
They did have the audio tape.
The president didn't.
Who had it at that point, actually?
He had it.
Ah.
He got it from Cabby.
Snake had it.
Yeah.
Snake had it, so that's why they needed to
So they did. They did need Snake.
But they didn't know.
But Snake had a minute 30 left on his watch.
Yeah, and I don't know if I remembered correctly what they said at the start. Was it can be disabled 15 minutes before or 15 minutes after the time?
It seemed very panicked if they had 15 minutes to spare.
And he'd be dead if it was 15 minutes before.
It was very, you know, like, I've only got a minute 30.
I assume there's a 15-minute window, but I didn't know whether it was before or after the time.
I mean, that to me didn't make a lot of sense anyway.
Because if it was 15 minutes before, why even say 15 minutes? Just say it can be disabled before the time is up.
Yeah, why only 15 minutes before? So maybe you're right, maybe it's 15 minutes after. It still seemed very panicked.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I just couldn't help but be like, this minute 30 has lasted a good 3 or 4 minutes, if that was the case.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I couldn't... Because Duke manages to get there, doesn't he? And then there's another very slowly choreographed throwabout.
Aww.
Very little actual fighting, just sort of rolling around on the top of cars.
And then they start to hoist Snake up, but the president... The president stops him from being hoisted up, and it's like, why? Yeah. So then the president can shoot at getting the Duke back for shooting at him.
Yeah.
But then he lets Snake up, and it's like, why did you stop him? Why didn't you just let him come out?
Yeah, it just seemed odd.
And when the president shot at the Duke, every bullet found its mark.
Every last bullet.
He filled him with lead.
Shot.
He was excellent.
I just found that weird. That much. Like I wasn't on the president's side, really. Like, I was just like, the president's a dick.
Mm. Yeah,
like, just odd moment.
And they definitely paint the president afterwards.
I mean, I suppose that's it. You're supposed to think he is a bit of a, you know, Duke. Yeah, he's not a nice guy, but he just wants to get out.
Yeah,
but I did miss the part where, while this is all kicking off, the warden's on a phone. The size of a house. I cracked up. I thought I was watching an airplane for a second because it was so big. It was bigger than his head by a large margin. I love that bit. Sorry, I just had to mention that. So they've got him out now. He's had his thing deactivated.
When he gives over the tape. Bit harsh.
Wait, what?
Well, he's like about to deactivate him and he goes, where's the tape?
Tape first.
Oh, yeah.
Savage. Yeah. And then
he wants to make sure he's got it, doesn't he?
He's given a fake tape.
Yeah, so he asks the president, doesn't he? Because that's obviously he wants to see what his reaction is before he probably would have said it's a real tape. If he'd shown some remorse, maybe. I don't know, but yeah, because they smarten the present up to the point of he looks like perfect. His bruised eye is gone. He is just in perfect condition.
Makeup, it's a remarkable thing.
In like 3 minutes, apparently, all that happened. And he got dressed as well in that 3 minute gap. Yeah. I was very surprised. But yeah, it was quite good how he asks him how he felt and he just looks disinterested. Did play that little part very well, I thought. But when they play the tape and it's just the music, you're like, yeah!
Get snake walking off.
The world's over!
Yeah. Like, so wait, are we all dead now?
We're all dead.
But this tape was going to save mankind and it was going to be the answer. Mm. And it's going to affect lots and lots of millions of people. Yep. But no, fuck it. Break it up. Snake's chuck like, it.
Nah. Sodja.
Not today.
Pause the tape out. End film.
What do we think? I think this might be the first film we collectively hate.
I actually quite liked it.
Did you?
I liked it. I can see all the silliness and all the kind of things you look at now and think, like, this makes no sense or anything.
Yeah.
But for what it is, I actually liked it.
I think for me, because like I said at the start, I've seen the second one and it's got a bit more pace to it. It's a bit sillier. I prefer that one. But for this one, for what it was and at the time, I don't think it's a bad film. But it's a bit too slow for me to enjoy these days. It'll be a long time before I watch it again. But I didn't hate it.
As a 14-year-old, back in the day, when I saw it and it was new and it was cutting edge, no one ever watched it again. I can never remember anyone going, oh, should we watch that movie again? Didn't happen. And, I would say it didn't, personally for me, it didn't even make it into 1983, let alone the current day.
I do think that's why they made the sequel, to try and, like, it's a good story, let's try and get it, but they just made it worse because they just...
Yeah,
they didn't. It didn't have the same grittiness to it.
It makes me want more Snake Plissken films.
But this is it. Such a great character.
Because he is a badass.
Yeah.
But
a badass.
Yes.
Axter.
Can you leave?
The concept is good.
Yeah, I think, and the world building is quite good in it because it's very quick. I feel like you never really stressed at any point during it.
No.
They kept trying to do the cliche of showing the clock going down.
And it, on the massive digital watch.
To try and add some kind of urgency to it, which I did feel at the start because every time he glanced, it was an hour lower.
Even though
seconds later from the last time he looked. But by the end of it, the watch is gone and you're a bit like, in the back of my head, I'm like, I know there's an escape from LA, so his head doesn't explode.
True, yeah.
But, it's one of those hard ones that I really struggle to put my finger on. I know it's not amazing, but I really liked it. It's just strange. I don't know.
The naffness is good. It's a good example.
It's got quite high reviews and stuff. Like, it's got relatively...
It reviews well. I don't know whether... You might be able to answer this, Gav. Was there much like this? I mean, I know you got Blade Runner, which is a bit post-apocalyptic-y. Well, no, that's future dystopia, isn't it?
But Mad Max 2. I mean, the Mad Max films were across that, and they were great. And,
dystopian stuff, I think.
So it's not like it was revolutionary at the time.
No.
Maybe the character. I don't know if people were doing Clint Eastwood not as a cowboy at the time. But.
I do think the character's the highlight for me.
Definitely. It's just everything about it, the look, the voice, all it. It's just a cool character. I mean, it appeals to that kind of young boy in me that's just like, yeah, he is cool. I want to be like, he makes smoking look cool.
I think what they need to do is they need to bring the franchise back and Escape from London. You know, there should be Escape from Coventry. You know, remake again. It's time.
Kurt Russell as he is now. As well.
Yes,
it'll do it.
He looks fabulous.
He'll probably still fit in the same uniform.
He probably will.
I also think it's worth pointing out that as a film, it's very inoffensive. I think.
I don't think it's
apart
a good
from
film.
Your random boobs. Like I don't. There's no.
Sorry, as a 14-year-old boy watching that, that was very important back in those days. We didn't have the internet.
You're really actively looking out for that stuff.
It's culturally offensive in the whole film.
No, I don't, to be honest, hold up today-wise, fine, but my advice is not to watch it because you will waste an hour and 38 minutes.
I think modern audiences would struggle. I agree. Yeah. I do think it's, but the pacing is so slow.
Gen Z says no.
Yeah, well,
It's definitely a film that you kind of watch with, you're asking more questions than you're getting answers to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because again, as an audience these days, we expect answers.
Oh, we're usually told why he's got an iPad.
Almost to a point. That you don't, you know, you're like, oh, I didn't need to know all of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. But hindsight, it's okay. I wouldn't watch it.
I won't be rushed to watch it again, but it's not terrible. It's not, you know. And it, say, it holds up. You're not going to be offended.
You won't be offended. I think.
Bored.
You might at points be bored. I liked it, but I'm weird.
Well, your opinion doesn't matter.
Go on, Gavlar.
I'm a negative on it. If I was going back to watch that sort of film, I'd go for Mad Max 2. In fact, I might watch it this afternoon.
That's fair.
Nice.
Though, perhaps I need to watch the digitally remastered copy that you watch.
It's the only way to watch it, yeah.
But see, interesting you say about Mad Max 2. I think the first Mad Max is also a bit of a slog.
It is.
It is very slow, the first one.
So, you know, maybe that's it.
It's more on the line in the first Mad Max, though, family being killed stuff. You're really wanting him to get his own back at that point. Spoilers to
him.
I'm not going to watch Mad Max.
I would recommend you watch it for Mad Max.
Not unless you guys pick it for the podcast and I have no
issues. Let's see what the year is next. No, okay, we're going to take another break, but when we come back, we're going to be discussing what we're going to be watching next. And we're back. It's part four. We're going to find out what we're going to be watching next. But to do that, we of course have to, as always, spin
the wheel.
Oh, 1995.
Slap bang in the middle.
Thanks.
Of our year. Well, it's not anymore because we've added.
Unfortunately, time is passing and
it was slap bang.
Films that aren't old are now old. So
thank goodness we're not in the 80s anymore. That's all I can say.
The 80s doesn't agree with you.
It does not.
No. There's good films in the 80s. Just
We've just not
80s,
watched any.
You know. You've got some great stuff that did come out of the 80s. Come on, Ghostbusters.
But we're in the 90s.
The music was great.
Back to the Future.
Maybe.
That's
my
the two
choice.
Films I can think of, apparently.
My choice.
Go on, what are you going to choose? You got some.
I'm surprised that you're even happy with the 90s, if I'm honest.
To be honest, I did ask for a reason.
You wanted 20.
I wanted 2013. 2013 was what I wanted, actually. I'll have
it's
you know.
It's not in contention yet.
It is in contention. No. If you want it to be contention, please email Mark's personal email address to complain.
At taylor.blog.
It's a difficult one. I think we've had a lot of action recently. We've had a lot of horror. Yeah. We've taken a little jaunt over.
We've had a lot of horror. We've had one horror film for the entire time.
Too much horror for me.
And that wasn't really even horror. Let's be honest. Horrific, maybe.
I think. Oh, I don't have a clue what to pick. Just kidding. Clueless.
Clueless.
The irony that you seem clueless is not lost. It's a good choice, though.
I assume you're talking about the TV series, yes?
I don't know what that is.
Oh my God.
They made a TV series of Clue.
Yeah.
Did we watch Clue on this podcast?
We did.
God, that was awful. Let's hope this Clueless has got better.
I imagine we've all seen Clueless, haven't we?
Yes.
A long, long time. I couldn't really tell you what happened.
I have watched it recently.
A long time ago, yeah.
I am excited to watch it again.
Dad, have you seen it?
In my brain, it gets muddled up with Legally Blondes, but I suppose it's the same sort of thing.
I muddle it up with Mean Girls, weirdly.
Yeah.
I keep thinking of quotes and like, no, that's Mean Girls.
I think there's a Venn diagram of these films, and they do cross over a lot, don't they?
It's a good thing.
In my head, it's a very colourful film, and I can't really...
Why
that is.
Yellow Check.
Could be the Yellow Check.
But again, see, then I was thinking of Pink, and I was like, no, that's Mean Girls. So
Legally Blonde.
And Legally Blonde, but it's Mean Girls for me. So I'm curious. Good to set my record straight. Mainly, and I'm looking forward to seeing young Paul Rudd, which is the same Paul Rudd that we have now because he doesn't age.
He does not age. He
does not age.
He's just beautiful.
What a man.
He's very buff now.
And it's just in time for the release of Ant-Man.
Is it? But it's not because it was released this weekend.
That's past, yes.
So by the time this comes out, it's probably no longer at the theatres.
What was that? Quantumania?
I'll
ask afterwards. Disney Plus? Anyway. Yeah.
Clueless it is.
Clueless, everyone, go and watch Clueless.
Dad, thank you for being a guest.
Yes, Gavin, thank you very much.
This is your last opportunity to speak.
Okay.
And then we will never have you as a guest again.
I do know.
Thank you for having me here, and I look forward to listening to your podcast about Clueless.
Are you going to enjoy listening to yourself?
And listening to myself, which I'll probably find highly embarrassing, but let's wait and see.
It's all good.
Well, thank you, Gav. It's been a ruddy pleasure.
Cheers, Ed.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you, Taylor. But before we go, let me just tell you that you can subscribe to the podcast on whatever app you use. I assume it's Deezer. or Apple Podcasts.
Apologies to the person who is using it.
Yeah, apologies to all the Deezer subscribers that rate it, or Tidal, whatever. Obviously, if you subscribe, you get every episode as it's released, which is a good thing. And remember, if you like the show enough and you feel inspired to do so, we would be very grateful if you gave us a 5-star review.
Or 6.
I don't think that's possible.
Find an extra star and just shove it into the code.
Rewrite the code on the website to add a 6-star. Leave a lovely review if you want, and I might even read it out.
Oh. But spell my name right, T-A-Y-L-A.
Yeah, very.
Tyler.
Tyler's very particular about that. And remember, you can get in touch via thatshindsight@gmail.com. And you can follow us on social media networks, Facebook and Twitter at That's Hindsight, and Instagram at That's Hindsight Pod, which has been a lot more populated recently.
I've been trying to do some more social media.
Oh my God,
our previous social media manager had to take a leave of absence because she was bored/lazy.
Busy buying Coke Zero and coffee.
So now her just reduced to hosting. She does a very good job of it. Yeah,
thank you for hosting in the That's Hindsight studio.
Yes, of course.
And well done for editing. I just throw that in there.
Thank you. Nice to get some recognition. We'll see you all next time. Goodbye.
Today.
Bye. Bye. Hello and welcome.
Oh sorry.
Call me Snake, everybody. This is Escape from New York, and that's us.
What is happening?
That was incredible.
I couldn't do the gruff voice. Hold on. Call me Snake. No. Call me Snake.